This is Phil Rowe. Cambridge 105
Radio. In the studio with us this morning is Lydia Kroger. She was born in Eastern Germany, as you heard earlier on. She's touring Cambridge Sixth Form Colleges this week, leading debates on peace-related motions. It's something that's an initiative that's tied in with Cambridge Rotary Club of South Cambridge. There are four Rotary clubs. If I've got that wrong, Mike Smith, who's here from one of the Rotarians from Cambridge Rotary Club South, will soon put me right. I've been long to meet some of them before, smashing people with what they do. Now, Lydia was born in Eastern Germany, as we said. She's been to Lesbos Island, as we would say in English. It's one of the Greek islands, and she's been spending her summer there. She's also tied in with the University of Bradford. We'll find out more about that and what a peace scholarship is and the education that she's receiving there. I have never met somebody before who's worked, shall we say, face-to-face and hand-to-hand with refugees. But, well, I'm about to now, and you as listeners are about to meet Lydia as well. Very good morning to you both. Lydia, hello.
Hi.
And Mike.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Phil. You were quite correct.
Good. There are four. I believe there's also one possibly at Sawston, but there we are. That's outside.
Sawston is included in the four.
In the four?
Yep.
I just about got it. Lydia, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you've been spending the summer, as I say, presumably wearing a tabard. You've been down on one of the Greek islands, and the reason for that is you've been working with various refugees that have come from further south, presumably from Libya, some Syrian refugees.
Yes, there are a lot of Syrians, but there's also actually surprisingly a lot of people from African countries on the Greek island of Lesbos where I was. So besides Syrians, Afghanis and Iraqis, which would be the kind of typical nationalities or the largest refugee populations, you might find a lot of people from Eritrea, from Somalia, from Ethiopia, but also from the Congo, from Western African countries. So it's very diverse, actually.
And you found your calling was to go there as a volunteer, and nobody said, oh, Lydia, we need you. You just felt you wanted to roll up your sleeves and go and do this for the summer.
Yes, I was working as volunteer in refugee camps in Berlin before. As you might know, Germany has received a lot of refugees in the recent years, so I was very involved there. But in the last 2 years, we haven't received so many more because borders have been closed, so we didn't receive many more, and people have been settled, so there's not so much necessity in Germany to work with refugees. So I wanted to go where really the situation is a little bit more urgent. And the island of Lesbos, actually it is. They have daily new arrivals, people coming by boat, living in tents, living in very, very simple situation. Yes, and there's definitely a big urgency for people to go there and support.
And it's seasonal, presumably, when the seas get rougher and heavier, a little colder, not very cold in the winter, but the number of these refugees definitely swells in the summer months.
You would think so. Surprisingly, it's not. Actually, because Lesbos is very close to the Turkish coast, so there's never really waves. And I've met a lot of people who arrived in January, for example. So it doesn't... I think this summer seasonal is more in the Mediterranean, where people take off from Libya. But from Lesbos, it's from the Turkish coast. And I think... people come all the time.
And what sort of distance, just for a bit of a geography lesson?
I don't know in miles. I don't think in miles anyway.
Kilometers is fine.
I can tell you that it takes about an hour and 20 minutes by these rubber boats that they use with a motor.
And that's the other thing, because they're not really seaworthy, some of these boats. They're whatever they can cobble together, whatever they can find, whatever they can be sold by some people who are perhaps less... the dark side to some of the people that sell these boats, just to get some money.
Yeah.
So they're not really very safe.
No, actually, the last weekend I spent there, we had a boat actually drowning, and we had a mother and a child dying. So that doesn't happen so much on the route to Lesbos, but as you see, sometimes it happens, and it happens exactly because of that. The motor might stop working, and then you have 70, 80 people in a boat that's you know, made for half of them. So
these people make landfall, they make it to land, they make it to the island of Lesbos. What's your first job when you start to receive them?
Well, I didn't work with the new arrivals. That's normally the job of the government, of the Greek government and of UNHCR. So I was working in the smallest refugee camp in the country, where people normally only get to after they've already spent a long time on the island. It's for the most vulnerable people, and it's for the people who kind of go through a long process of proving to the Greek government that they cannot live in the main refugee camps anymore. But what would happen when they arrive? They arrive at the north of the island, very far away from any kind of town or refugee camp. Sometimes there is organizations waiting for them. Sometimes they just hitchhike their way to the main town, and then they will be sent to the main refugee camp, which is the camp of Moria, which, if you Google it, it's currently named the worst refugee camp in the world by the BBC.
For general conditions there, for the amount of, I don't know, everything from basic facilities for humanity like toilets and clothing, somewhere clean to be.
Yes, so just to give you a quick idea of how it looks, it's made for 3,000 people. Currently, it has about 10,000 people living in it, which means that everybody outside of the 3,000 people capacity lives in tents, but these tents are old, might be from the 70s, which means in the summer it might be very, very hot. In the winter, it might be very, very cold. You have an average of toilets, one toilet per 80 residents. And these toilets normally don't come with running waters. They're very dirty. They're very smelly. They're full of trash. There's no health facilities on the site whatsoever. And they've recently started a new policy where residents are not allowed to call the ambulance themselves. So they have to go to a specific point where they have to prove that their disease might be serious enough that an ambulance can come. So they're, you know, they're very much out of control over their own kind of life.
So I mean, are the Greek, it's a Greek island, so that it's a Greek domain. Does the Greek government feel that it's being supported by the rest of the world? And not necessarily saying just the EU, but of course this is an international assistance project.
Well, the way I see it, and it might be a little bit of a radical point of view, but after you've been there, you understand that mainly Germany is paying the Greek government some money to keep the refugees from moving on north, you know, do whatever you want with them as long as they don't come here. And they are, you know, given some money, and the Greek government, in my opinion, is doing a lot, or is doing everything it can. But we also have to think that Greece is in a certain economic situation right now where it might not be the first country you would think of that is capable of handling tens of thousands of refugees.
But geographically, they find themselves where they are in the situation they're in. We won't go into politics too much, so we won't get into any too difficult matters. That's for the rest of the world to sort out. We'll find out more about, Lydia, why you are here this week. You've been doing some touring around our sixth form colleges.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
Well, organized by the Rotary Club Cambridge South, I've been given some speeches and telling young students about my work in Greece and explaining them a little bit about, you know, the migration problem, call it problem, and why people might decide to leave their homes in the first place, which kind of conditions might go to the, you know, might force them to leave their homes. But mainly I've been telling them about the situation on Lesbos and about one specific person whom I met there, just about his daily routine, showed them photos, just for people to get a better understanding of how it actually looks like, you know, because I think in the media we don't hear too much about it. It's very difficult.
I'd imagine to any 16, 17, 18-year-old sixth former, you walk into the room, Lydia, and you're very inspirational. Do you illustrate what you tell them? Do you do a PowerPoint presentation?
Yes, and I come with photos from the camp, so I, you know, they can look at it and they can listen to me and they can have a better understanding of how, you know, how it actually looks.
And before they go into debate, we'll talk about what you do with the debating with them as well. What's their reaction to this?
I've been very surprised. They're very interested. They ask very intelligent questions. And I'm also, of course, interested in hearing what they think. And they've been asking. Yeah, they've been participating very well. And it was really great. I mean, I'm looking forward. We have two more visits planned today. And I'm looking very much forward to seeing how they go. But it's been really interesting for me.
The young people are very world weary, aren't they?
That's
what impresses you, I'm sure, as you walk into their sixth forms. We're bringing Mike Smith at this point. Mike, thank you. thank you very much as well for joining us. Nice to see you again. Thank you very much for inviting us.
You are
one of the big linchpins in this. You particularly have a passion for global peace, and as an organisation, the Rotary Clubs toast Rotary and peace the world over at the end of all your meetings.
That's quite correct indeed, yes.
Did you connect Lydia to get her over to the UK to do this little roadshow tour that she's doing this week?
Not to the UK. What it is, the background is that Rotary internationally sponsors 60 young people to do a master's degree in 5 different universities across the world. One of them is Bradford in the UK. And so about 10 to 12 young people from other countries come to study for a master's degree in peace and conflict resolution at the University of Bradford. And each year we've asked one or two to come to Cambridge and speak to the sixth formers in the sort of colleges in the sort of Cambridgeshire area about their work, themselves, and in this case about refugees.
You come from St Ivo this morning to be with us. After this little whistle stop here with us, you're off after lunch to Comberton Village College.
That's right.
And so what will you do when you get into the room? Lydia's already said so, she does a presentation. Presumably that's the opener when you arrive, with a PowerPoint presentation. And then you take a group of sixth formers. Are these always upper sixth, lower sixth?
They can be both. And St Ivo, they were younger. There were only 14-year-olds at St Ivo, so slightly different responses and slightly different way, obviously, of putting over the message. But overall, the message is very much about educating young people about the world and its nastier side in various parts of the world, and the differences between perhaps their rather fortunate upbringing and that of many other young people in different parts of the world, especially if they become refugees, be they migrants or refugees.
So these young people then go into debate. We've heard that. That's what's going on. With a debate, though, there's always two sides, a for and against. And I can't think how anybody would argue against the world becoming a more peaceful place. Do some students rally on the against side? It is a debate, after all.
Well, we had a formal debate on Monday evening at hosted by the Lees School, very kindly, at which there were six teams of three from six formers from different schools, and they debated three different motions. And they were, this house believes that putting one's country first is not a threat to peace. And clearly there was an argument both ways, and you'll perhaps remember where that quote comes from.
That's a clever one, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And another global one was, this house believes that unbalanced distribution of resources between countries will spark the next world war. And the third one was, this house believes that current major conflicts are in reality proxy wars for more powerful nations. A Boris Johnson quote, of course.
And did they get, a few minutes on each debate? And presumably they're trying to... I would hope that you're almost trying to stop them from overrunning for each topic.
They're all timed. There's a timer, and there's an orange light to warn them when they've got a minute left, and a red light to say, stop, please.
It's like some party conference, isn't it? Or going down to Shire Hall and listening to the councillors, where they have a similar system, I believe, to keep them all to time and to order. You've had some good response so far, both of you. You are finishing off your, 3 days, Lydia, and that means that you go back to the University of Bradford after this.
Yes, for another 2 weeks only, and then my time in the UK is up.
Oh, so it's a very short spell doing...
Well, I've been here since last September, so I'm basically just finishing up my master's degree, which has come to an end now. And so, actually, I'm headed back to Greece afterwards.
Back down to Lesbos again, or to the mainland?
This time to the mainland, to Athens, because I'm really interested in seeing the situation there.
Actually, in the capital, when you say the situation there, can you amplify on what's going on in Athens at the moment?
I don't know too much about it, because I haven't been there, but... what I can just explain to you a little bit is that, as bad as the situation on Lesbos might be, it's very organized. So, for example, if you arrive on the island, somebody will register you and give you a place to stay. In Athens, it isn't the case. So you might have people who arrive in Athens and it's only to be able to register for the Greek government to even know that they're there, it might take months. And then it might take another couple of months for them to register for their monthly allowance, and it might take another couple of months for them to register for a camp. So we have a problem of a lot of people being homeless, which we don't have on Lesbos. So people literally living on the streets, young people, a lot of unaccompanied minor male refugees from Syria, from Afghanistan, even cases where they enter into prostitution because they don't have any options. So yes, I'm very interested in seeing the situation there and how drastic it really is.
And it's sad times, really, isn't it? It's what a sad world we are in. At least you're doing your work as a peace fellow, Lydia. It must feel sometimes like you're a very small part
of a
big machine. But people need to come together.
Yes. I guess the biggest problem with the refugee issue is that, you know, the solution really lies in politics and in changing, you know, the way that people can move across the world. And it's not something that I can just change as a singular person. So sometimes you feel like you're working, you know, how can you say this in English? You're building castles and sand castles with the high tide coming. You're not really doing anything.
Well, the sand is drying out and the wind is going to blow it all away. It must seem a bit like that. Don't be too despairing, because what you do is very positive. It's wonderful to meet you. Mike, just a final word to you. You as Cambridge Rotary Club South are responsible for a lot of this funding work that allows these fellows to study at Bradford.
Yeah, the whole of Rotary comes together to fund the scholars who study, but we obviously pay for Lydia's costs when she's here and for transport and everything whilst she's here. So that's very important. And we do the car parking in Cambridge starting at the end of November, the first weekend of November, running through to the 30th of December. So each weekend and between Christmas and New Year, there will be three car parks, very kindly donated by the university, etc. And we will ask for donations. And last year we raised £40,000, mainly for local charities, from that. So people had a win-win-win situation where they were parking more cheaply all day without pressure of time, with relieving the pressure on the other car parks, and hopefully helping the high street to get more custom from people who want to park locally.
And you have your orange tabards on again this year. The signs will go up. Something like, I don't know what it will be this year, but for £8, I think it was last year, all day you can do your Christmas shopping. Was it seven last year?
Yep.
I know that you creep up to eight. You may manage that. With the good people of Cambridge can be generous this year and get all day parking on a Saturday, Sunday, bank holidays over Christmas as well, to get their New Year's bargains in, and knowing they can park for a little less on the Downing site, Lensfield Road, and the other sites that you offer in Cambridge. Fantastic work. £40,000 for someone as wonderful as Lydia to continue with her striving force for peace in this world. Thank you both. It's peaches and cream.
Thank you very much.
It really works together. Thank you both for coming on board. I know you're very busy because you've got to scuttle off now over to the next village college Compton for another sort of clash of heads over there. In the nicest sense, though, and do keep up the good work, as I say. I'm glad we've met you today, Lydia. Mike,
thank you.
Nice to see you again as well.
Thank you very much, Phil.
That was Lydia Kroger and Mike Smith.